For the world and around us, and and for most of the world around us, maybe we should talk about prayer. But the Lord's telling me, you just spent a couple of days working closely with your family, you should talk about sin. So that's what I'm going to do. There's this very confusing and super enlightening reading from the Gospel according to Mark. And I thought, man, this is crazy, right? And I have to tell you, as I turn to this reading in this Bible that I've preached from for a number of years, there were no markings on this part, other than a little note that says he was speaking to his disciples, which means I've probably never preached this portion of the Gospel of Mark, to be honest. The little bit ahead of it, we hung on to that. I can see where I've written in here. So I'm really going to focus on 42 through 50, which is very confusing to many of us, because this sounds maybe a little extreme. As Christians today, it's very often we'll just, especially when we ourselves are struggling, we'll look at one another and go, well, we all sin, right? Yeah, anybody disagree with that? No, we're ready for that. Well, we all sin, right? Yeah, you're okay. Because if I tell you you're okay with your sin, then I'm okay with mine, amen? But that's not what Jesus is talking about today. Jesus is talking about, our mantra of, well, we're all sinners, right? We're hearing today that Jesus is teaching extreme measures to be taken to not even be tempted to sin. That's a different level. Now, as I've discovered over the last couple days, being tempted to sin is a very simple thing. Just get into a good stressful situation and then mix some family in. And suddenly, well, things shift. So we're listening to the extreme piece in verse 42 of chapter 9. He says, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Well, that should be a pretty fair warning. We should pay attention to what's going on around us and what we're doing. Amen? And then he just starts getting way, way off course. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, dig it out. And now, by now, most of us are going, wonder what we're going to have for lunch. Because we don't want to hear that. That's crazy. We're not going to cut our hand off. Probably not going to gouge an eye out. But I think Jesus is really trying to show us something else. He's trying to say, you so desperately need to avoid sin as those who proclaim to be my disciples that you need to go to extreme measure to do so, not only for your own access and ability to walk into the kingdom, depending on your translation, here it says life. It'd be better to go into life. Other translations would say, so into the kingdom, by the way. When they say life, they mean eternal life because they're already living. So take extreme measures. And it just kind of hit me. I'm thinking, we should pay very close attention to what we touch, where we go, and what we see. And we'd be better to not have a hand or be able or be lame or not be able to see than to allow the things that we touch and the places we go and the things we see to lead us into the temptation of sin. He's telling us to be very clear, you better guard yourselves. Why? Because people are watching that are just becoming believers, the little ones. And from that warning, we should probably not want to cause anybody to stumble. And maybe one of the stumbling blocks we may have is the one that we all share in our relationship together, where we say, we all sin. But it's not a call to group with sinners and justify ourselves by telling each other we're all sinners. Jesus is saying, take extreme measures to be holy. Strive for holiness in all areas, so that people will then see him and not us. We represent the one who was fully human and yet fully divine, who walked in this world as we do, yet without sin. Now, we're not going to get there, so I found out. Honestly, I've never gotten close. But the reality is, he still calls us to strive for it. See, Christ's mantra for us is be holy as he is holy. So we have to ask ourselves, we all want a relationship with Jesus Christ, amen? How many of us want to be Christ-like? Because that's what he's asking of us, to be like him. Not just to cling to him in our sinfulness, but to be transformed by his very presence within us and to strive for holiness so that the world could see that this relationship we have with him makes a difference. Are we willing to take extreme measures in our lives to be sure that these things don't tempt us to sin? Are we willing to change the way in which we structure our entire day so that we may be closer to Christ and more Christ-like in each moment of every day? Are we willing to stop when we are headed away from Christ and turn back to him? Extreme measures. You know, I often make the joke that I have a collar because he put me on a short leash. I'm really not allowed off the porch anymore, because my skills of taking extreme measures to be away from, to not be tempted to sinfulness, apparently are limited. But what do we do to build that up? How do we walk with Christ in such a way that it draws us away from those things in our life, those things that we touch, the places we go, and the things we see, so that we aren't tempted to sin that pulls us away from Christ, so that we may ourselves begin to appear Christ-like for the world? Are we willing to take extreme measures? Or are we choosing cheap grace, which is really defined by professing to be a Christian without truly following Jesus? Because sometimes, like today, he gives us some really hard instructions. He's telling us to be extreme in protecting ourselves, not just from sin, but from the temptation of sin. Or will we be satisfied with cheap grace, where we can claim to be Christians, but without actually allowing that relationship with Jesus to transform who we are, and not challenge us to actually follow where he leads us? I would say, brothers and sisters, don't take it. Take the full grace, not the cheap grace. And when Jesus challenges us and teaches us hard things like he's doing today, Let's think about that. Do I want to grow nearer to him, or do I just want to be satisfied where I am? Do I want a deeper relationship, or is this sort of knowledge of one another enough for me? Do we want to be in a deep, abiding relationship with Christ, or is he just a nice acquaintance to our life? A nice feature we can add in, makes us feel good. Something to lean on when life is difficult. Or is there more? And I would say there is more. I'd say you can claim the fullness of his transforming grace. You can turn from sin. Even begin to shift and change your life to where you're no longer even tempted by particular sins. And from this teaching, are we willing to do the extreme things? And they may not seem so extreme as tearing out an eye, but it may actually require us from time to time to be in the midst of a situation and just say, I'm going to step back from this so that I am not tempted towards sin. I'm not going to justify your behavior or another person's behavior to something that we know is leading in the wrong direction by saying, well, we all sin, do what you want. When we could stand back and say, you know, my faith tells me I'm going to have to stop here with you and I'm going to have to go this direction. And I hope you'll come with me. And maybe you'll get a chance to say why. Or maybe somebody will just think you're just an extreme Christian. And so be it. And there may be a cost. But it'll be worldly. But as Jesus does, he gives a slight glimmer of hope, but it's hidden in there just a little. In verse 49, for everyone will be salted with fire. Which we generally would relate to this presence of the Spirit of God, amen? When we are salted with fire. Maybe a passion for him. That's about as good as it gets today. But he says in verse 50, salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Continually seek sanctification in Christ, this setting apart and being made holy. Claim his holiness. Be Christ-like. Be extreme. And stay salty.